For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl. Last week, a man widely known as one of the fathers of the Internet visited Michigan State University for a Quello Center lecture called Internet, Past, Present, and Future. Vinton Cerf is a co-designer of the TCP/IP protocols and the architecture of the Internet. He stopped by the WKAR studios for a conversation on where the Internet has been and where it's headed. As the father of the Internet, so-called, how would you say today's Internet compares with your early vision for the possibilities of this technology?
Well, first of all, let me point out I'm not the only father of the Internet. Bob Kahn and I did the original design back in 1973. And, of course, many, many people have had their fingers in the pie since then. We were doing this for the Defense Department, so we were looking at command and control applications, which did involve voice, video, and data, even as far back as the early 70s. So in that sense, the fact that the Internet has grown up to support those media is what we hope for, could not be assured of, but we certainly hope for that. Second, we had the experience of the ARPANET to rely on, and we saw not only the educational aspects and the communication aspects, the computer-mediated communication aspects of the system, and we saw some of the social impacts. As a bunch of geeks, we used email distribution lists in order to comment on, you know, science fiction writers or restaurants and things like that. So distribution lists were an early effect. However, what we didn't predict, or what I didn't anyway, is what happens when you let the general public onto a global scale system and give them the freedom to largely say whatever they want to say or show whatever they want to show. And that's when you learn what Shakespeare has been teaching us for 400 years, that not everyone has your best interests at heart. And so now we have the conundrum. The general public is online. What do we do about abusive behavior? And how do we cope with that on an international scale? And I think that's something we're going to have to figure out.
So when some hear you referred to as a father of the Internet, they might say, oh, you're to blame. It's your fault.
You know, I learned a couple of lessons as a parent, and that is not to take too much credit when your kids do well, so when they screw up, you don't have to take too much blame. And so I try to escape some of that by pointing out that what Bob Kahn and I did was kind of like figuring out how to design a road system, how to put rules of the road in place so the cars don't run into each other. But the decision about what kind of vehicle to build, what the vehicle carries, what buildings are adjacent to the roads and what they do has been left to others. And so what happens on the network is partly the result of other people's ambitions and invention.
How long have you been with Google?
Since 2005, so I'm working on my 13th year.
All right. Now, a lot of people know that Google co-founder Larry Page, as I'm sure you know, grew up here in East Lansing. His parents, Gloria and Carl, taught computer programming and computer science here at MSU. So would you describe for us what you see as Larry Page's place in history, noting that he's only 45 years old?
Well, he's already made a name for himself in several dimensions, not the least of which he's become quite wealthy. But the page ranking algorithm was largely Larry's, if I've understood correctly. He was also the guy with the business model in his head. He didn't have the advertising business model, but that came fairly early in the story of Google. And so I think that Larry and Sergey both get enormous credit for encouraging people to shoot for 10x, even if it doesn't work, rather than 0.1x that is guaranteed. And so allowing people to try things that might not work is a hallmark of Larry's management style, and it shows in what's happened at Google.
One question for you is about federal net neutrality legislation. Do you have a personal position on it? Does it differ from Google's corporate position on net neutrality?
Well, we were very aligned a few years ago, and I was a vocal spokesperson for net neutrality. Google has been a little quieter on the topic, but I still believe that it's a very important concept that should be instantiated in an enforceable way. However, there are some people who misunderstand what is meant by net neutrality. What I mean by this is not that every packet is treated identically. I think low latency is important. I think high capacity is important. It does not mean you can't charge for more usage. What it means is that everyone, every user, whether that's a company or a person, should have equal access under the same terms and conditions to the various services of the network. So that might mean low latency for video games. It might mean high capacity for file transfers. So it's just that it's the fairness of access under the same terms and conditions that counts. It also means that the providers of broadband access to the net should not be allowed to interfere with someone else's application to benefit their applications above the access layer. That's an anti-competitive issue, and I think that's what's important to instantiate. The fact that it was lodged in Title II of the Communications Act was awkward, but that was the only place to put it that had the adequate differentiations. What should happen is a new title in the Telecom Act for Internet access, which should be rendered neutral and fair and assure user choice. And if we can get there, perhaps with a more cooperative Congress than we have now, that would be a good outcome.
Is Chief Evangelist at Google an official title?
My official title is Vice President and Chief Internet Evangelist. Yes. And yes, it is. When I joined the company, Larry and Sergey and Eric said, "What title do you want?" And I thought for a moment and I suggested Archduke. I thought that was a really great title. However, they went away and came back and said, you know, the previous Archduke was Ferdinand, and he was assassinated in 1914 and started World War I. Why don't you be our chief internet evangelist? And I said, okay, I can do that. And so my job is rich with opportunity, but a big focus of attention is getting more internet built around the world. At the end of 2018, we believe about 50% of the world's population will have access to the internet. So I still have another 3.7 billion or so people to convert.
Is it challenging to evangelize about the internet when the web is so widely criticized these days for being vulnerable to those who have nefarious intent?
No. And the reason for that is that there's also so much of value that people are finding on the net, the opportunities for trying out new ideas, creating new businesses, for sharing information, for collaboration. I mean, it's just an incredibly powerful global scale thing. And so the result is that people understand that there are issues that need to be addressed, but I don't think they're prepared to throw away the entire internet simply because we have some challenges that need to be addressed.
One final question about the future of the internet, what you envision, maybe even things we can't imagine today. What's ahead?
Well, there are several things that are absolutely predictable right now. First of all, it's more wireless access at higher speeds for sure. Second, the Internet of Things is a tsunami that's on its way with both benefits and some serious potential deficits, security, safety, privacy, reliability, all of those things, scaling and the ability to manage large numbers of devices, or what happens when you sell your house and somebody comes and arrives with another 200 devices and doesn't want to spend the next week typing IPv6 addresses to configure everything. So we have that to worry about. I am persuaded that many of the machine learning and artificial intelligence techniques that are becoming more and more applied will make our lives interesting, because the network will be just there. You won't be thinking about logging into the internet. It will simply be another facility, like plugging into the wall to get electrons. I can confidently say that the interplanetary extension of the internet, which is already in operation, will certainly expand over the decades ahead, providing a backbone to support manned and robotic exploration of our solar system. And those protocols have been standardized over the last 20 years with some serious work at NASA and the other spacefaring nations around the world. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see a very, very rich and evolving environment in which the internet is still embedded.
Vinden Cerf is Vice President and Chief Internet Evangelist at Google. Thank you.
It's a big pleasure to be here. Thanks.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.